Well, tonight, as you can see there, our text is Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. It was in your bulletin. And I had the title of the thing here. That's really the outline, How to Pray for Central Baptist Church in 2020 daily. Okay. And daily is important. So let me look at the text here in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, and I'll read it, then we'll have a word of prayer. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Here it says teach. Other places it says preach. But it's the same idea. Whether you're teaching or preaching, it's the same gospel. Jesus died for us, was buried, and rose from the dead. And we are sent to take this gospel everywhere. Now, as an individual, we can't go everywhere ourselves, but we can help those that do and then take care of the home place ourselves. And then he says in verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now, we could go all night on all that he's commanded us. For an example, prayer. Pray without ceasing. Study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, to be right in his word. We could talk about not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as a matter of some is. You're my witnesses. We can talk about faithfulness, so many things that we can talk about. And so what he's saying there is those are things that we need to teach. We need to teach that. And if we'll do that, when we do that, we realize also we're not only teaching them to observe, we're teaching them the doctrine and to obey the doctrine. Okay? Doctrine is not faith until you live by doctrine. You can know doctrine without having faith because the devil, he very much believes the doctrine, but he does not have the faith and did not have the faith, and many don't have the faith to live by the doctrine. And so it's only faith when we live by it. But you'll notice there again, teaching them to observe. We teach them the doctrine and teach them how to obey and to grow in the Lord. And that is our call as individuals as well as a church. Well, let's have a word of prayer, then we'll get started. Now, Father, I pray as we delve into your word this evening, I pray that you just make it very clear to everyone that is here tonight. Lord, we want to rightly divide the word. So, Father, I pray that you just take over and do it for me. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Okay, as you see there, I'm going to read one, and then I'm going to make comments about that one, and then I'll go on to two, make comments through all 10 of these, and then we'll try to finish the sermon, okay? So let's look there at number one on your sheet there, what to pray for Central Baptist Church in 2020 daily. Pray for Central Baptist, number one, to be stronger in biblical spirituality. Now, there's a lot of spirituality that's not biblical going on. And so we're not talking about that. It's got to be biblical. It's got to start with the Word of God and from the Spirit of God. So pray that we'll be, Central Baptist Church will be stronger in biblical spirituality in 2020 than in 2019. Pray that the church, in its standards, its service for the Lord, and love for one another will reflect a mature Christianity, rather than spirits of gossip and accusation. In the late 1960s, early 1970s, as a member, just newly married young man and so forth, I was very active here at Central Baptist Church. I worked in the bus ministry. I worked in children's church. Preached there some, led music some in the children's church. I can remember teaching a Sunday school class during that time, taught 9th through 11th grade teenagers in that time frame as well, and including driving a bus. And so there was a lot of things that I was very busy. I was doing not only religious works, I was doing what are good works. I mean, these are good, biblically right works to be doing. What was wrong is that I was running from the Lord in the sense that I knew what he had called me to do. And so sometimes you try to get involved in doing the right thing, and you just saturate yourself with it, but yet there's the lack of the peace in your heart because you're not doing the thing God specifically has spoken to your heart to do. And so that's so very important that we are on the page that where God would have each of us in the ministry. Now remember, we are the family of God at Central Baptist Church. And so the church has many different parts to it. And it's very important each of us do our part. When you let down on your part, you're not only letting God down, you're letting yourself down, and you're letting the entire local church down. And the idea is not to quit. The idea is to keep on keeping on and keep on keeping on towards that. Okay, and so again, we can get involved in doing works. Now, look, I grew up in a pastor's home. As I was telling you this morning, when you hear false accusations and you hear other gossip, the devil can use that to tell you, you don't need to go that direction. Now, when I'd preach, I loved preaching. But I knew the ministry was much more than preaching. And so those were things I was doing so as not to preach. So I remember as a teenager, back then we had a training union. Now, I don't know why they've cut that out, but on Sunday nights, about an hour before church, it's something like a Sunday evening Sunday school. You had Sunday morning Sunday school, but this was a thing that got you active in some things. The teams would play some games, but also we'd have a lesson, and we'd do different things there in that hour before church. Then we'd go into the main church service. I can remember there's a period of time where they had divided us into teams, and your team had the responsibility to have the lesson for that night, and I had a lesson book and all that, but to do the lesson and to put it in your own words instead of the book words. And probably the first time I ever preached was, I can't put a date on it, but there was the first time I ever preached was as a teenager in youth meeting, in our own teen meeting. And that's where God really struck me, I think, was when I was speaking. Some of those were my peers, some of them were older than me, and I could just see they were drawn in. And I believe God was speaking to their hearts through that message. And I can't even tell you what I preach now. I really don't. No, but I do know that God used that moment to impress it on me about being called to preach. But sometimes you do other things. You're kind of like Jonah. Okay, Lord, I'll preach in Israel, but I don't want to go down over that place and preach. I don't want to go to Nineveh. And you're doing the right thing as far as preaching, but you're in the wrong place. So that's why you seek to be in the right place, in the right ministry God has you. I've had people tell me, I want to teach Sunday school. Great, great. You know, I've got some four-year-olds. I've got a primary church, or I've got this, got that. Well, no, I need to be teaching adults. Well, you know, if I'm too good, if teaching little children is below me, I'm not fit to teach or lead. Okay? So we need to understand that. Number two, pray that each member grows in the knowledge of God and His holy word in 2020, living by it, allowing it to govern their daily lives. Pray for the preaching, the teaching, and the witness to have the milk of God's word for the newest saint in Christ, while at the same time having meat for the most mature. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 8 through 10, we read the following. For bodily exercise profiteth little. I've thought about just making that one little part my life's verse. Bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. Now, he tells us that bodily exercise does profit, but it profits little. It does profit, but it profits little. Now, people are making all these New Year's resolutions. You know, I'm going to exercise, diet. I'm going to have this kind of a diet. Boy, I'm going to do this. I think my resolution is this year that I will keep is that I will not go on a diet. Have no problem keeping that one. But, you know, people have that New Year's resolution. I'm going to have a healthy diet, and I'm going to stick to it. Now, they do that because they think they'll live longer. They don't. It just actually seems longer. Okay? But what I'm saying is this. That those are good things. There's nothing wrong with those things. But they still profit little. Okay? We should try to do those things, but they're not the main thing, is what he's telling us here. It profiteth little. But holiness is profitable unto all things, with a promise for the life that now is, as well as the life is to come. So we go with that. It's a promise for now, and it's the life to come. Now, many have a resistance to the word exercise. Because actually, as it's really defined here, it is defined as rigorous self-sacrificial training. In 2 Timothy chapter 3:12, it tells us, you've heard me say it many times, all those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. The believer, therefore, must train to be godly. Now think of that. We must train to be godly, or we'll be a quitter. It's that simple. The best way to get where you're going is just to keep on. I have a quote here I've written down by Dr. Lee Robertson that he would preach often. And this is the quote. He said, "Don't quit. Any half-baked imbecile can quit. Be faithful. Quitters are a dime a dozen. Don't quit." Now, Dr. Lee Robertson, after he had resigned his church, after pastoring for 42 years, and he went out preaching all across this country up until into his mid-90s. Preached the word, just stayed active, preaching. Everywhere he goes, he's preaching, 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 preaching. But after 42 years of pastoring, he said, he made this statement, "There has never been a time that I was not opposed. But if you exercise yourself in holiness, you exercise yourself in the Word of God, you exercise yourself in that which is right, you're ready to meet the enemy. By the way, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places." So, a pastor, if he's going to be a godly pastor, cannot water down the word. He cannot compromise with the world. But really, that goes for all of us as Christians. Why would any of us, as his very own children, water down his word and compromise with the world? You know, one of the things that troubled me, not as I told you this morning, I'm on the board at BIMI, and I remember back when I started with them, I think it's 10, 12 years ago, that there was over 1,000 missionaries. Now it's down in the lower 900s. You say, "Well, that's pretty good, isn't it?" Yeah, but what I see so often, you bring in a bunch of missionaries, and the ones that don't quit before they go to the field, they'll go to the field, and many of them will quit after one term. Well, you don't know how hard it is, and I don't. I mean, if you want to find out about hardness, talk to the Edwards. I tell you what, now, they know about hardness. When Dr. Banfield gets back, talk to him. They'll tell you what it is like on a field. God called you to a work, you do it, and you don't quit, regardless of the opposition. If the work is right, I can guarantee you Satan is going to oppose it and try to use Christians to bring you down to do it. And those Christians won't be aware that Satan is using them. So you got to keep it in your own heart and mind that it's Satan, not them. Okay, number three. Pray that we will be stronger numerically in souls saved, Christians edified, and most of all, Christ glorified in 2020. Pray that as in Acts 2, that souls will be added to the church and become faithful serving members at his house more than in 2019. Now, that doesn't happen if we're not listening to hear what God has to say to us instead of looking to find fault. We need to be daily in the Word. We need to be daily inviting others, carrying those tracts with you. Those tracts are a good thing. People have gotten saved reading tracts, by the way. We had one at our last board meeting that was there because of someone reading a tract. Pray by name for souls. Be on visitation. Learn how to win souls. Talk to people about Jesus Christ and do it with a purpose. Okay, let's look at number 10. I'm not at number 10 yet. What happened? Oh, number 4. Here we are. Whew. Somebody's pulling a joke on me, I thought, for a moment. Okay. Number 4. Pray for us to be a true fellowship. The word is defined a partnership. That's what the word fellowship in the Bible doesn't mean a party, okay? The word fellowship actually means a partnership. Many times in the Bible, it was used to refer to the relationship between husband and wife. And so it's a partnership was the way the word was used in that day, the Greek word. Pray for us to be a true fellowship as the Bible word is defined, a partnership that is working together as laborers with God, 1 Corinthians 3, 9 through 11. Pray that none of us will exalt the ministry where God has placed us over any other ministry of the church in 2020. Well, we looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 9 through 11, where he said, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building." By the way, that God's husbandry, God's building, that has an apostrophe S after God. You're his possession. You're God's building. You are God's husbandry. And he goes on to say, "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon." Other words, it's not because of Paul, it's not because of Peter, it's because of Jesus Christ. Okay? "Another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." We need to be Bible-based and holy. That's God's way. Bible-based and holy. Not that which is entertaining, psychological, and watered-down truth that will avoid certain subjects as to not offend anyone. You know, since both of these have said it to me, I wouldn't say their names. I hope they don't mind, but Bill and Linda St. Louis and the Lloyds have told me, "Central Baptist Church is my life." That's great. When you believe God has put you in the ministry here and it becomes your life, that's great. Missions, church planting was Paul's life. And when it becomes your life, you're getting on the right track of true fellowship with God. You're doing and you're going in the right way. I'm not against things such as golf, except every time I go, that windmill comes around, hits that ball before it goes through that hole. Okay, but I'm not against golf, fishing, hunting, crafts, and other things of that nature, unless they take the place of serving God Well, we serve him only out of convenience rather than by commitment of love, as we see in Mark 12:30, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. Loving God with all. I think the reason he says heart, he's talking about your inner man, your spirit, then your soul. Let it be the emotion of your heart to please God. With your mind, meditating on him. With your strength, using your body for his service. And so he says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Now, what he meant by this is the first commandment is God is saying that of all the commandments, because they'd asked him, which is the most important commandment? He says, the first of all commandments was this right here. This commandment is the most important to God. You ever talk to someone that says, I'm a pretty good person. I don't think I need to be saved. This and that. And the question to ask them is, well, if you broke a commandment that God said was the most important to him, would you then be guilty of a terrible sin that deserves hell? Oh, yeah. Have you always loved him with all your inner person? Loved him totally with all the strength that your life is dedicated to it? Loved him with all your mind that you're always thinking on him? And well, if they say, oh, yes, I do, say, read to him Revelation 21:8, where it says, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire. Now, we don't love God as we ought to. That's the simple truth. We as Christians break this commandment that is the most important to God. Think of that. He said, this is most important to me. God was honored when Paul forsook all to follow him. He was honored when Abraham left his home to follow him. And therefore, in Abraham, all nations are blessed today. But the blessing comes after the commitment and the action. He had to trust God through it all. Let's look at number 5. Pray that we'll be stronger financially in 2020 than in 2019. Pray that this provision will help us to get the word of God and the gospel to more places throughout the world. And pray that we can pay for ministry as tools for outreach and repairs and things of that nature. Okay. You say, should you really pray for that? Our financial income will increase? Yeah. If we're going to use it for the Lord and to spread his precious word and his ministry and reaching souls, yes, pray for it. If that enables, then let's do it. But there's also a responsibility to actually do it. You see? So, yeah, we should pray for that. God was honored when they built the temple. And then later, in the rebuilding of the temple, when it was cleaned up, he was honored. We are worshiping the Almighty, high and exalted God. And so his house is to worship him. And then secondly, is to take the gospel to the whole world while teaching every new convert brought to Christ in this house to grow in the Lord as a newborn babe in Christ. They need to be fed and they need to be built up. Number 6, pray that in each revival meeting, church service, and conference, we have a missions conference coming this year, and this coming year we'll have a Bible conference. So pray that each revival meeting, church service, and conference, that the Holy Ghost is the power in the preacher's voices that hold our attention, and that God will open the understanding of each person's heart for edification, correction, reproof, and instruction in righteousness in 2020. More so than in any year of our history. Our history as a church, but also our history as individuals. The Bible tells us that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So we must have more than a convenient church thought of thinking, well, as long as I'm attending on regularly, that's all that counts. As long as I give a tithe, that's all that counts, and nothing else matters. Consecrated commitment on our part with a non-quit attitude gives the Lord a vessel that he can use to bring about revival and holiness. Not only to the local church, but to your own personal life. The churches of this country, if they don't have this revival, America is doomed. Now, I know you've heard people say that, but it's actually a truth. Without God, all those nations that forsake God, God will judge. And so we need it. To think that it can't happen anymore is doing something that you really shouldn't do. Just say, well, that can't happen today. That can't happen anymore. I've heard preachers say that, and it pains my heart. Why? Because now it's saying God is admitting Satan's power is greater than his, and so it can't happen. That's blasphemy. I don't care what the situation is. God can do it. But he wants willing people to let God do it in them and through them. You know, the Holy Ghost has to work in you before he can work through you. But if you'll let him, he will. It's that simple. You let him, he will. And so again, we have to have a non-quit attitude that allows the Lord to use us as his vessels. Don't quit. Don't quit. Quitting is not God giving up on you. It's you giving up on God. You've lost your trust for him. It's not that God has changed. God changeth not. Our heart changes. And that's the very moment that we're not right with God as Christians. Number 7. Pray for God's protection on the ministry. Pray for our children to be protected from any who would molest them, bully them, or mislead them in false doctrine. Ask God to reveal clearly those who would do those things, and that we will know exactly what to do in handling the situation. Pray there will be no terrorist attacks on this ministry, and that this ministry will be safer in 2020 than we were even in 2019. Last year was, I'd say, wow. Because these things here that are on this list, most this is almost a duplicate of the list. There's some changes to it. But we prayed and we saw that God answered these things. He did things that people said cannot happen. You know what happens when you see a list like this? We're like the church in Acts chapter 12. Peter's in prison. They're going to execute him the next day. And that church is having an all-night prayer, praying, oh, Lord, rescue Peter. Oh, Lord, save Peter. Take Peter from there so that they can't hurt him. And they're praying and praying and praying. Finally, there's a knock at the door, and a little girl goes, answers the door and says, oh, it's Peter. She doesn't open the door and let him in. She just says, it's Peter. And she walks back there, tells them. They think she's crazy. Finally, the knocking keeps on. They say, well, somebody better get it. They're not going to stop. They go there, and it's Peter. God answered their prayers, but they were praying, not really expecting God to do what they were praying. Let's expect God to answer what we prayed for. And one of the great examples that we have was Faith Promises past year. Expect God to do it, and he can. We just pray that way, which takes us now, as we think of that, to number 8. Okay, number 8. Pray for faith promise giving to be greater in 2020 than it was in 2019. Ask God to direct us in which missionaries to add as a result of the increase, and what mission projects to support and help. Pray that each person will do more this year. Now, as I said, last year, we can call that a miracle. But we cannot rest on the past. When we start resting on the past, then we start tearing down. We must always be building for the future. Always pressing towards the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Always keep pressing towards that mark. Because the time is drawing near. It's of utmost importance that you pray for your deacons as they consider and vote to add missionaries and to help on mission projects. It was great that God blessed us with the increase in faith promise. Now we have a personal responsibility and these men in position to direct that as to the way God would have it directed. Sometimes there are good things that we could support. God doesn't really want us to support that. He wants to support something else. That's why these men have to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. And that's why they have the position they have. And God has placed them there. And by the way, I love our deacon board. We have a bunch of good deacons. So let me just go on record as saying that right now. So we want to know that we pray for these things, pray that even more of our people will get that 2020 vision from God for souls, and we will not rest on the past. Okay, number 9, pray for our biblical standards to be never compromised. Ask God to keep us truer to the Word in 2020 than in 2019. Pray for our internet, radio, and live stream ministry to operate well without problems of equipment breakdown. You know, when we look at something like that, we're looking at some things like, for an example, holiness. Holiness. True to the Word of God. We're growing in holiness. Holiness is when our lives are framed and molded into the character of God. Holiness is God-likeness, godly. And it's traced upon our souls. Holiness is conformity to the image of Christ. But it does not happen if we're not in the Word, we're not reading on it, and we're not meditating on it, and we're not obeying it. And we're not serving God, then don't expect growth in holiness. You can sometimes grow in a pride that thinks that you're an intellectual, which becomes foolishness in the sight of God. Grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, it says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In Psalms 145 and verse 17, it says, the Lord is righteous in all his ways and he's holy in all his works. You know, one of the identifying things is when you say, oh boy, here's something new, we ought to do this. Does it reflect the holiness of God, his righteousness? Does the way of it, or does it compromise with something of the world? Then it's not of God. It's not of God. 1 Thessalonians 5:22. Abstain from all appearance of evil. You see, Jesus' name is often attacked by his own people when they don't know they're attacking it. There is an ever-increasing drive to change standards. Some have turned to the deceptive, for example, Sovereign Grace music that's out there today. Now, a lot of you probably aren't familiar with that. But what they're doing, trying to do now is take good words and put it to that worldly beat. They said, well, you know, this other stuff they started out with, they're just repeating this, what they called 7-11, seven words 11 times, you know. Well, they've actually put some words. Now, what Well, you got to be careful of it. A lot of good words, but a lot of it's trying to drive you towards Calvinism. Some of the words they use are trying to drive you towards Calvinism, give you an appetite for it. That's the way the devil works. But adding the world to God's words is blasphemy. It's simply blasphemy. And we need to understand that. In Malachi, they tried to keep the offerings and teachings of the word, but yet they incorporated the world's religions. They had some of the world's music and other things in their worship. During the time of the Maccabees, Antiochus the Fourth, who was the Syrian, come from Syria, the Grecian king coming out of Syria, ruling that area, they'd offer him money among the priests, and the one that gave him the most money got to be the high priest. Antiochus wasn't the one to choose the high priest, and many of those high priests didn't qualify. And especially if they're offering money to get a position. Antiochus ended up offering a pig on the altar at the temple. And that's when the Maccabees were able to get together and overthrow that and clean the temple, which I believe honored God. As a matter of fact, that's what Hanukkah is about. The Hanukkah that they are Jews, that's what it's all about. It was cleaning up the unholy from God's house. It's cleaning up the unholy from God's people. And that's what the Jewish Hanukkah is about. But then we look at the church today. They sacrificed a pig in the temple, but much of the music out of hell is just as bad in the local church today, with the immodesty and everything else that goes along with it. Now look, we have a radio program, we have live stream, we've affected nearly 1.8 million different computers at least once, and many of those many times over. The top downloads each month have at least 8 out of 10 of those top downloads are radio programs. Many months, all 10 of the top 10 are radio programs. But do you realize there are even locals who try to tear down this radio? We have actually people in this county that are trying to affect our radio station. That's just a battle that goes on behind the scenes that you don't see. But what I'm saying is because of that, we have to trust in God and do God's will, God's way, for Him to preserve it. Now, if we compromise with the world, I don't think anybody would be opposing us. But if you walk with God, then there is a spiritual warfare. You got to decide which side of the great divider you're going to be on. The Lord said He divided even in the home. Sometimes it's the father against the son, the mother against the daughter. And so you decide what's more important to you, the Lord or family. If family is going to go against God, don't support it. Don't support it. Let's go on to number 10. Pray for laborers for each ministry, especially for a great harvest of souls in 2020. Pray for all members to be involved in ministry in the way of God's leading. Laborers for each ministry. You go back to our text. You're teaching them to observe. You've heard me say it many times, we should be more holy this year than we were last year. If you've been a member this whole year at Central Baptist Church, then you ought to have grown in your holiness and in your standards of righteousness. Look, holiness and righteousness is not legalistic. Rather, they are issues of true love for God. And the big question becomes, is your faith and life, life and faith of convenience, or is it a loving, consecrated commitment to God? Are we satisfied with somewhat faithful attendance only? Does our faith require entertainment and simplicity that requires no thought or no meditation? Look, Sunday school, Sunday morning services, Sunday night services, Wednesday night Bible teaching, in addition to revivals and conferences that we have. People say, we've got to develop a discipleship program. The things I just said to you are discipleship. If people listen, they grow in those things, and they learn about Jesus Christ. Now, it is good for fellow Christians to take somebody under your hand that's a new Christian and be able to encourage them in the things that you're learning, and you share that with them and to help them to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let's just look at some things. Now, I'm going to step on some toes here. Remember, you can't leave and you can't sue me. Okay. But there are ladies that are off on Tuesday morning, and you could be at a Tuesday morning Bible study. And the excuses are really pitiful for not coming. And those things become more important to you than the study of God's Word. Look, they're not talking about this ladies' Bible study, psychology, and marriage seminars, given and using books by men and women that aren't even fundamental, don't even use our Bible. They use the world's principles. Look, whether it's a teen, whether it's a young adult, whether it's a middle-ager, older adult, getting together at one another's homes, you can do fun things. That's right. You can invite people. Hey, come on up to the house. You can play games. You can do things. You can go out to a ball game somewhere. You can do things of that nature. But I'm tired of nursery to primary church level Christians being in young marriage, middle age classes, and older classes that have to have their entertainment at church, or they're going to go find where they can be entertained. Well, just come out and admit, I don't love God, and I don't want to hear about Him. I don't want to hear about His Word. I don't want to be instructed in righteousness and holiness. I just want to have fun. You can do that, or you can say, you know what, I'm going to be serious about it. God's not against you getting together and having fellowship, but church time, when we're preaching His Word, we're teaching His Word, and we're serving God together, we're going on visitations, we're having these classes, we're having all these other things, that's not the time for recreation. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. There's a men's prayer time on Monday night. Do we really care about revival? You know, I read a lot of news thing. I don't watch on television. I get tired of television. So I read a lot of different articles. You wonder, how in the world do you have this homosexual marriage? How in the world do you have this wanting to have drugs? How in the world do you have all these other things that are going on? You know what? 15, 20 years ago, they were teaching your kindergartners, my two mommies. And throughout school, they've been teaching all these things, all these very liberal things, anti-God things. Now today, you've got a lot of people that don't want the name Jesus Christ at Christmas. You got a lot of people who think, we need to be arrested for speaking against anything that is immoral. That's been taught to your children and grandchildren over these last 20 some odd years. It seems natural to them. They think that we're crazy. So understand, it's a real spiritual battle. One more generation, there are no more victories. Unless there's a revival. And there can be a revival. There can be a revival. Do we care less about America and our grandchildren going to hell than we do about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Let me say some practical things. What about parking lot duty? You know, it seems like the same people have to do it a couple times a month. This many men, we ought to have a parking lot duty ought to be doing it one time a month, or one time every 3 months. And it's not really hard work. And with all the modern cell phones and things, you can even watch a church service or listen to it on the radio as you're walking around checking things and just making sure that our cars aren't getting beaten up and things stolen from them. And many more could volunteer and be a part of that instead of having the same people every time. We have a prayer time. While I'm preaching now, there's supposed to be people in the prayer room back there praying as they hear my voice going over the speaker. Whether I'm preaching or someone else is preaching, they're back there praying. You can be a part of that prayer time. You say, well, isn't that kind of, how do you listen and pray? Well, I just prayed about revival, and I can see a person back there saying, yes, Lord, may we have a heart for revival. Lord, speak to people's hearts about this. Many of these things that I've said. And you can be a part of it. Your Sunday school classes get a turn once a month to do that. Get in there. Be involved. Men's Bible study on Tuesday morning, 6 o'clock. Man, I can't do that at 6 o'clock in the morning. That's poor. That's rough. You can't get up and be there at 6 o'clock. It's just too hard. I imagine you can't get up and go fishing or go hunting at that early either, can you? Well, preacher, you don't understand. Yes, I do. I know what's more important to you. Preacher, go on to something else. Okay, let's do that. What about usher help? Now, we've got good ushers and things like that. But you know what? I like to see greeters with ushers that are each door. People come in and so forth. And they're right there and they're waiting. They're greeting people and ushers helping and so forth. You don't have to be over 70 to be an usher. Really, you don't. Well, that doesn't bother me, preacher. They've got to wear a tie. Can you imagine standing before the Lord? Well, yeah, Lord, I would love to have been an usher, but Lord, they want me to wear a tie. And God says, so? You see, I'm not scolding you tonight. I'm trying to tell you as it is from a biblical point of view. I'm not going to apologize for it, by the way, but I'm trying to tell you how it is, all right? We've got nursery, could use more nursery workers. We could have more people in the choir. We could have more people in orchestra. We have hardly any in orchestra. People that know instruments, had instruments, took lessons, learned, and now they're put away, the instrument and your talent. Why did God give you a talent if he didn't want you to use it? You could be in the orchestra. Some could teach in Sunday school. Some could be in children's church. Some could get involved in the bus ministry. Bus ministry just doesn't need volunteers that'll ride the bus on Sunday. They need people that love those boys and girls' hearts and souls so much they realize that we're the last chance for them to get saved because of what they're growing up in now. And so they want to go out and rescue the perishing and have care for those little children's souls. And so they'll get out and knock on doors. And they'll be there early on Sunday morning. They'll be there on the bus taking them home in the afternoon. And then they'll be rejoicing with those same souls in heaven. What about visitation? What about taking new members and converts under your wing? Not to gossip, but to build up Jesus Christ in them. Radio could use people who would go out and try to get more underwriters. Maybe there are things that Brother Mark could have you to do. Some could volunteer one day a week. I mean, if you're not going to do it one day a week, you're probably going to be hit and miss, and it'd be a waste of time, really. But some could just volunteer one day a week to work in maintenance, whatever's needed. If you learn where everything is and how to do it, then all they got to do when you come in that day, they say, you know, we need this done, and you can go do it because you know where the things are. You know what to do. You could work in security at the school. Other things that OCA may need some help in. And by the way, FBI, Faith Bible Institute, could build up your knowledge of God and His Word. And you'll receive much more than I'm able to give you. But again, you got to ask yourself, do I want a convenient but clean church? Or do I want a loving, consecrated commitment to Christ? Again, if serving God is below you, then your leadership and spiritual maturity is not there for the Lord. My challenge tonight is for people who will honestly say, I will pray for these things every day in 2020. Now, something may come up to hinder that, a hospital stay or something, but you're going to pray for it regularly throughout 2020. And then secondly, as this morning in the reading of the Bible, and now in prayer and service, you're going to seek what God would have to do, and you're going to do it with all your heart, because you want to fulfill the Great Commission, not only to get them saved, but to get them growing and to be solid Christians for Christ. Oh, I hope that you will do that. Let's bow our heads, please. Father, we need a consecrated commitment to Christ. It'd be great not only for the people to read the Bible through, but to meditate on it and to obey it. It'd be great to have people praying for these things every day of the year. It'd be great, Lord, to have people finding where you want them to serve and getting involved. Lord, if Satan can take 17 people and spread communism from 1917 throughout all the Soviet Union and those lands, certainly the Holy Spirit-filled people could accomplish much more. I pray that even this very night, that there be someone here, maybe they're called to a mission field, maybe they're called to preach, maybe they're called to something else, and they don't even know it yet. I pray that tonight be the start of beginning to reveal your word and your will to them. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.